and they find it absolutely hilarious. They aren't the X. They aren't no names. And they aren't gentlemen. They are Gemma and King. And this is Social Downfall Radio.
Yes, the show that has been banned from the Olympics because we are just too dope. It is Social Downfall Radio. My name is King.
And this is Gemma.
We will be talking about the Rio Olympics starting on Friday. We're going to be talking about that a little bit during the show and just all the wonderful things that have been set up there and the venues. And it's just, I think it's going to go off without a hitch, really.
It really is.
It really looks like they got everything together down there. Also going to talk a little bit about WWE and, of course, one of the biggest movies of the summer, Suicide Squad. We're going to be talking about that later. Actually, we're going to be talking about it because we're going to be reviewing the movie. That's right. As we record this, we haven't seen Suicide Squad yet. Okay. Now, again, breaking the fourth wall, we record the show, and it is right now about 7 p.m. on August 3rd. We are going to see the show at a special screening just for us, the wonderful people at Social Downfall Radio. It's good to know people. It's good to be, you know, in with people.
It really is.
And see, this is where my alcoholism came in. Because if it wasn't for me, like, going to bars all the time, like, I would have never met this particular person who then hooks us up and helps us out and gives us these special screenings. So, good. Thanks. Thank you, alcohol. Is really all I got to say about that. Thank you.
Yes, thank you,
finally,
alcohol.
Finally, you've done something other than take my money and make me throw up into ramen noodle cups.
Ew.
Which I did have to do.
Ew.
Yeah, no, that was a whole story. I went out drinking one time. This is back when I was roommates with Rebecca, who I used to work with at 97.9X here in Wilkes-Barre. I went out drinking one night. Apparently had too much. I didn't think I did, but apparently I had too much, and I drunk made myself like two Maruchan cup of noodles, and decided to, on top of all the alcohol, you know, eat those down. I'm like, oh, it's carbs, it'll help soak up the alcohol, blah 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 blah. So I ate those and then immediately laid down. Bad idea. Probably just the worst idea I've ever had. But I was so drunk, and the bathroom that we had in the apartment was downstairs, and my bedroom was upstairs. You know, there was no upstairs bathroom. So I'm just like, this is going to go, and I don't want to have like a trail of vomit going down the stairs, because then I'm going to have to clean it up. I'm going to have to pay for it. I'm going to have to do something, and I don't want to do that. Like, that's just not my thing. So I rolled over in my bed. I saw that I had the empty ramen noodle cups there, because of course they were there, and I needed two of them, by the way.
I don't want any more. Stop it.
But, see, the good thing
is
because, like, it was, so, like, it's not like, you know, when I throw up in the toilet, because I'm so tall, it, like, splatters everywhere. The cup was, like, right next to my mouth, so it was very neat. It was a very clean vomit.
I've checked out. No, no, no. I don't want to hear anymore.
It looked like a very good cheddar chowder.
Stop! I hate you.
I love that story.
I'm not talking to you.
What? Listen, everybody has a weird, gross, disgusting puke story. I have several, but, you know.
The only weird, disgusting puke story I have is when some guy leaned over my balcony and puked cotton candy vodka all over the roof of my car.
That's actually kind of cool.
No. Because I'm short. I couldn't clean it.
That's when you wait for the rain, or you just, you know, you go on the highway and you hit 90.
I made him clean it the next morning.
Summer or winter? I'm guessing with cotton candy vodka, I'm going to guess it was probably summertime.
Late fall.
Really? So this was more cold weather-ish.
He was flaming.
Well, the cotton candy vodka kind of gave that away.
There were other girls there you didn't know.
Yeah, but you said he threw up the cotton candy vodka.
Yes, he did.
So, it doesn't matter if the other girls were there.
I've known a very straight guy to drink cotton candy vodka. It was on a dare, but still.
But see, a dare is different. A dare does not give a sexual preference when it does something like that. Unless it's like, you know, I dare you to have gay sex.
Okay, think of it this way. He could have been dared to take a shot of the cotton candy vodka, decided it was disgusting, and puked over the railing.
No, because one shot's not good. Listen, I did a shot in a night. I did a shot of Hennessy, which don't ever take a shot of cognac, by the way. I'm not a fan of cognac either way, sipping or otherwise. No. But I was with somebody I used to know, and their brother was, you know, was trying to be this gangster like person, and you know, so he wants to be like all the rappers and stuff, and doing shots of Henny and doing all that kind of stuff. I was like, dude, or whatever. And he's like, here, just take this. And of course, I was a little younger. I was like 26, 27 or something. So I'm like, hey, alcohol, I'll take it. And I did that shot, and it was, you know, your eyes start bugging out of your head and stuff. And I was just like, okay, but I didn't puke.
I'm so proud.
You know? And then he also did, like, some kind of orange creamsicle shot or something, which actually wasn't bad.
Now I want one.
But I don't know if that makes me gay now.
No, I don't think so.
Does orange creamsicle make you gay?
Maybe not.
As much as cotton candy vodka? I'm not sure. I'm going to need to find, like, a list or a ruling. We're going to have, like, a council and see what is the gayness level of all the flavored vodkas now.
We will have to put a poll out.
Giggity. Because I think the normal flavored ones are fine. Like, you know, your like orange, raspberry, cherry, grape. Like, I think those flavored vodkas are fine. Like, when you start getting into, like, the pumpkin pie vodka or the cotton candy vodka or anything. There's only two vodkas I think I've had that have been outside of, like, the normal, like, fruit range and not that kind of fruit. Get your mind out of the gutter. I had Swedish fish vodka.
That's good.
And I think, because Pinnacle does a lot of that. Pinnacle vodka is the one that does like all kinds of crazy flavors.
Their Mountain Dew vodka.
And then there's the one, it's not Pinnacle though.
I
got the bottle the one time.
We did.
And I think you remember that. I got the bottle one time. It was called Dew. It's just, I forget the actual brand name of the vodka, but the flavor was called Dew, and it was Mountain Dew vodka. And you take that and you mix it with actual, like, Mountain Dew, you will lose track of time. You won't know where you are.
It's amazing.
It really is. It makes being an alcoholic fun.
I do have to say, whipped cream vodka in Jell-O shots.
But see, again, I don't think whipped cream vodka falls into that, you know, kind of gay vodka. I don't think so.
That's like the top of my list.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know, because everybody likes whipped cream.
I'm okay with whipped cream. I'm not a big fan.
Oh, that's a shame. no, but like whipped cream to me is like, you know, like if you're going to do like, because I've seen like the apple pie shots and everything like that, and that's fine.
Pumpkin pie beer. Where you take the pumpkin beer and then put a shot of whipped cream vodka.
I can't drink that though, man.
It's so good.
That up here in Wilkes-Barre, we have a local brewery, the Lion's Head Brewery, and they put out the Stegmeier pumpkin beer out every year. And Gemma loves it. I cannot choke this stuff down. Like, it's just, there's something about it. Just like I'm drinking, like, halfway through the beer, I'm done. And I can drink a case of beer. How can I only drink half a beer? And I'm, like, it just, there's something about it that just, I guess, doesn't sit well with me. I don't know.
Does your pumpkin need to be sweet? Because pumpkin itself has a very different taste.
I don't know. I guess I would have to say, like, my thought of pumpkin is probably skewed into the pumpkin pie area. So I would probably have the sweet pumpkin.
That's why, because it's not a sweet pumpkin. This is supposed to be pumpkin.
No, but here's the thing. Like, I taste the pumpkin. Like, I get it. But it just, the beer itself, I don't even know if it's so much the flavor. It's the beer that just doesn't taste right. Now, maybe there's another pumpkin beer out there made by another brewery that I could have. But the one that is in this area, the Stegmeyer Brewery pumpkin ale that they have, I just can't do it.
I love it.
I know you do. You've racked up quite a bar bill getting that particular beverage.
Yes, I have.
If I seem to remember the last couple falls when Gemma turns into basic white girl and gets all pumpkin everything.
Not everything.
But to be fair, I turn into basic white girl too, because I do love pumpkin creamer in my coffee. I do love, you know, I like the pumpkin pie flavored stuff. I do.
And do you like pumpkin pie flavored or pumpkin? Because there are two differences.
I like the what they call pumpkin or pumpkin spice.
Yes, pumpkin spice.
That's kind of my that's my bag, baby. That's what I like. You know, the Coffee Mate, pumpkin pie.
It's amazing.
I'll drink coffee all day.
I eat pumpkin out of the can.
I'm trying to think of a butt joke about that, but it writes itself, really. So the audience at home, you can think up your own. And if you would like to go ahead and submit that, you can go to our Facebook, facebook.com/socialdownfallradio, and bring your best pumpkin from a can joke. So that'd be funny if somebody actually does post something. That'd be good.
I'd love to hear them or read them.
Well, how about this? If we get any good ones, we'll read them on the air next week.
Deal.
The SDR pumpkin in a can contest. If you get read on the air, we'll give you, I don't know, I have an old broken cell phone here. It's an old Motorola Razr.
You can have a pair of aviator sunglasses that I don't wear.
Oh, those are the ones that are missing the nose piece?
Yeah.
There you go. You can get a. We'll give you a pair of aviator sunglasses that don't have the nose piece on them.
You weren't supposed to tell them.
No, that's the whole point, is that we don't really have anything to give away.
2 pound weights. There we go.
5 pound balls. we have some cool stuff here. Like, you know, I have my Jägermeister flag, but I'm not giving that away. I have my cool Giants Tiffany lamp. I'm not giving that away. Maybe the Jägermeister shark.
No, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Jäger shark could, you know, maybe in the future we'll find a way to get rid of Jäger shark.
Sounds good.
But so after pumpkin in a can, I'm not really sure where to go with this. So how about we just get the show moving?
I say so.
I think that's a good idea. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about the good old wrestling world, WWE. Not anything specific. We're just going to kind of shoot around, a little shoot from the hip, as it were. What are you giving me that look for? Because I did. Was it because of the hand motion or the suit from the hip? I don't know.
Hand motion.
It was the hand motion.
Kinda it was
doing a little shake and rattle roll, doing a little dice roll.
Dice roll. Yes.
Well,
exactly.
Come on, snake eyes. Don't give me no snake eyes.
It doesn't look like a dice roll from here.
Dirty. Why are you so dirty all of a sudden? Why did that happen? Anyway, we got that coming up next right here on Social Downfall Radio. Who doesn't like to be naked? Sure, we all do. But the police usually frown upon public nudity. Well, now you can stay out of jail and look good doing so with a t-shirt from Skunk Duck Design. From sports to politics to the wide world of nerdcraft, there's a shirt for you at Skunk Duck. They even have shirts for you 420 followers. Skunk Duck shirts come in both a regular and women's cut, and with sizes from extra small to 5XL, there's a shirt for everyone. Oh, did I mention they have hoodies too? Because they totally have hoodies. Go to teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign to get the shirt that's right for you. That's teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign. New shirts are being added all the time, so follow Skunk Duck on social media at facebook.com/skunkduckdesign for all the latest updates. Skunk Duck Design, the best ducking designs on the web.
Connect to Social Downfall on social media, like on Facebook at facebook.com/socialdownfallradio, and follow us on Twitter at Social Downfall, minus the O in downfall. So it's like S-C-I-A-L? Oh, in downfall, so social, S-O-C-I-A-L-D-W-N. Yeah, that'll work. That sucks, though. It's hard to work with.
Social Downfall Radio back here with you. King, Gemma. Wait. when did you get glasses? Why in the last segment were you not wearing glasses and now you are wearing glasses?
They were in front of me.
Okay, but I still don't understand why you have glasses on now when you didn't before. It's like, seriously, I looked down for 2 seconds to kind of get everything going, and now here I am, and you're got, you know, your Buddy Holly glasses on.
Yeah.
Ooh wee ooh. You look just like Buddy Holly. Ooh ooh, and I'm never talking anymore. I don't care what to say about us anyway. What? I like Weezer.
I love Weezer.
They're a guilty pleasure. The Weezer, dude, they're so terrible. They're like hipster rock. Yeah, I know, and I hate hipsters, but I like Weezer. Shut up. I don't care.
I love Weezer.
Anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about the WWE. Now, we're both wrestling nerds, so we like talking about it. And we've reviewed pay-per-views before and, you know, the new brand split. And we talked about the Raw and SmackDown last week and all that fun stuff. Especially with Sasha Banks winning the championship, and there's a bunch of good stuff. And
woo-hoo!
Your boy Finn Balor getting the number one contendership for the super-duper, ultra-amazing, universal, black hole, cosmic championship of the future, Starway, Star-Lord, Guardian of the Galaxy championship. Whatever they're calling it. I don't know. It's got so, you know, it's kind of stupid. But
kind of.
But I kind of wanted to bring that up, too. And there's a lot that I want to get into here. But the one thing is, you know, with the championships, you know, they kind of changed the name of the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, which they had just changed from the WWE Championship to the World Heavyweight Championship when they kind of merged the two belts. And now they've taken the World Heavyweight part off it, and now it's just the WWE Championship again. But since you're going to have another title, and it's going to be called the Universal, WWE Universal Championship, why take the world off of the other one?
Maybe they've got plans.
The WWE? Sure. But what would the plans be?
Maybe they're thinking of doing a third belt.
Like an overarching belt for... But that's dumb. In that case, you should have just taken the one belt and then created another belt for somebody. Like, it doesn't make sense.
It's the WWE. They don't make sense.
WWE. I'm going to make sure that I do try to, like, emphasize that from now on, because I have noticed when I try to say, like, I try to speak too fast, like, my jersey comes out, and I slur WWE. Like, it turns into, like, WWE. Like, sometimes the E will fall off. Sometimes I'll miss a W.
It's hard to say.
It's just WWE. WWE. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to start saying WWE. There we go. But that also brings up the point that on SmackDown now, they're going to be introducing new tag team titles just for the SmackDown brand and a women's championship just for SmackDown. And while on the surface, that seems like, yeah, of course, that makes sense, obviously. When you look at the roster, there's not a lot there, especially on the women's side of SmackDown.
Actually, the roster for the women is almost evenly split.
Yeah, but... You have Becky Lynch, you have Natalia. I guess now with, you know, having... I guess you can add Alexa Bliss to that. I think she's a good wrestler. I think she can be a top women's wrestler.
I think they'll work it out. I have faith in the women's division.
I'm not sold on Carmella yet as a top flight. I'm not. Granted, she's not Eva Marie. Nobody's Eva Marie. Okay.
Let's never mention that name again, please.
But, you know, but even, I think, even more slim pickings than what the women's championship could be is with SmackDown's tag teams. Now, they just brought up American Alpha. So you have American Alpha, you have the Dudley Boys.
What's their name? The Vaudevillains.
Yeah, okay. They just got fed to American Alpha.
I know, and it broke my heart.
Really?
Yes.
Granted, I started off really disliking the Vaudevillains because I thought it was an absolutely stupid gimmick. Then I got sold on it for being a stupid gimmick. And then when they came to the main roster, they kind of got buried, almost like the Ascension was. Except the Ascension were monsters in NXT, and then when they brought them up, they just kind of...
They were there.
Crapped on them, which was terrible booking. And I think they terribly booked the Vaudevillains as well. I think there was a lot to do with that. Enzo getting the concussion during the one pay-per-view, I think has a lot to do with that. They had to kind of scramble and kind of make stuff up, and just things kind of got lost in the shuffle.
And that could be it, too. And I don't know. It may be that they weren't ready to go up, but... I like the Vaudevillains. I'm hoping that we see more of them not getting squashed.
Yeah, I don't think... No, you're not going to see... At this point, they're already, I think... What they would need to do is stay off TV for, you know, a few months and then kind of come back and have a push. Because right now, like, they're not... Nobody's... You know, when you hear the Vaudevillains music and you see them come out, there's almost no reaction. Nobody cares. You need to have that, you know... They need a reboot. They need a fresh already. They need a kind of a fresh start.
And that's sad.
You know, that kind of reminds me on the Raw brand with the Shining Stars. They put so much into those vignettes, and you know, Primo and Epico, and they're trying to, you know, repackage them after the whole El Matadores thing. And has that thing fallen flat? They've had three matches. They got a surprise win this week, which was whatever. I don't get, but there's nothing. Puerto Rico turned out better than what they did. You know, they did pretty good salesmanship for like tourism in Puerto Rico. But outside of that, I mean, nobody cares about them.
Would you say they're more like Falling Stars then?
God, I hate you. God, do I hate you so much? It's gonna be that kind of show, huh? It's gonna be a punny show. We're gonna have puns.
Maybe. What?
I almost feel like going on strike. Just like turning off my mic and just walking away.
You mean like I was?
Puns are lazy comedy, damn it. But they're kind of funny.
I like my puns.
I know you do.
I take after Becky Lynch. What can I say?
Oh, God. The things I would do to Becky Lynch. Who is dating a UFC guy, apparently.
Yeah, you showed me him.
So as much as I would like to say, oh, yeah, I would take Becky Lynch. No. First of all, that guy is way more ripped and jacked and in shape and in better health than I could ever possibly hope to be ever again. And two, if I looked at Becky Lynch the wrong way, he could probably kill me. So...
Yeah.
I'll let the dream die.
I won't.
Yeah, but you're a girl. You can like get away with it.
Speaking of Becky and the women's division.
Okay.
I'm hoping that it's not Natalia in there. It seemed like that they were setting up Natalia versus Carmella.
That seems like what they're going with now, but they have to do something because all we've gotten for like the last month has been, or 2 months, wow, it's probably even been longer than that, is Becky and Natalia. That's like all that's every match that Becky's been a part of has been her versus Natalia, her versus Natalia, her versus Natalia. Then they were going to switch it up this week and have her versus Eva Marie, which by the way, I want to say this. WWE is playing Eva Marie perfectly. They're doing it what they need to do with her. She's already hated. Everybody hates her. She has X-Pac heat. The point of heat, like nobody, everybody knows she can't wrestle. She's only there because she's a supermodel. Like there's no redeeming quality about Eva Marie. Everybody knows that. So instead of trying to see if you could get her over or do anything like that, like trying to see, oh, well, maybe if we push it this way or maybe they've gone and gone over the top obnoxious with her, with having the like Lifestyles of Rich and Famous voiceover for her entrance and all the, like, they've done it perfectly. And then, of course, she's going to have a match with Becky Lynch on SmackDown. And, oh, ow, my leg all of a sudden hurts. Oh, I can't. And she leaves the ring. It reminds me a lot what they did with Jericho a couple of years back when he came back and he came to the ring and he had his light-up jacket and he stood in the ring for 5 minutes and didn't say a word. And just stood there. He pretended he was going to talk and then didn't talk.
I think the voiceover is actually to cover the booze.
No, I think they're embracing the booze now. The voiceover is there because, the voiceover is not there to cover the booze. You wouldn't be able to cover the booze with that anyway.
Who knows?
Why would you want to cover the booze anyway? You want a reaction. You want the booze. You want booze and you want cheers. What you don't want is this. You don't want silence. You don't want somebody to come out and it be no reaction whatsoever. And this is the thing. They're building up Eva Marie's X-Pac heat with the fact that they're making her more. They're basically embracing the fact that everybody hates her because she can't wrestle. It's not even legitimate character heat. They're embracing the fact that people in real life cannot stand this chick. And I think that's something that we haven't seen from the WWE before.
It's an interesting take.
Basically embracing what the IWC, the Internet Wrestling Community, basically embracing what they're saying, and this chick can't do anything. We hate her. Listening to everybody boo her in NXT, which was deafening, and saying, you know what? This is what we're going to do. The fact that nobody likes her, let's use that. Let's not even try to get her legitimate heat. Let's just play up the anger that people have when they see her.
But what angers me about what they do with her or somebody else that they don't like is, or we don't like, but they do, is they let the other people fall. Such as Bray. We all love Bray.
Well, I was going to get into this because I have kind of a whole diatribe on this. Now, apparently there was some information that came out today that Bray got injured in the match yesterday. He rolled his ankle. Don't know how serious it is yet. So this kind of gives me pause. But it doesn't invalidate what my opinion is of Bray or how they've booked him, which is to say, terribly.
They can't book him.
And I love Bray Wyatt as a character. I loved it ever since he came up. And he came up, I think, back when they were just turning over to NXT. I think they were still FCW, the Florida Championship Wrestling. So there was no way to actually see their developmental thing. I think unless you had, like if you knew about it and watched it on YouTube or something, like, you couldn't see it. But, I mean, I really loved the character, the vignettes they had going up until they debuted. Then when they actually debuted, I mean, I really enjoyed Bray's character and thought that with the right booking and with the right ways to work his character and stuff, he could have been this generation's Undertaker. And I know that's high praise and high expectations, but he had that. He had the very cool entrance that everybody loves to see. Everybody's into it. But he's never won a feud.
No, he hasn't.
He's never won a feud. It started with Cena, and it's gone downhill ever since. And that was still back in the LOL Cena wins days, and so that was kind of like expected, but maybe he can rebound from this. But they've never had, even with the smaller feuds, with anything, with anybody, with Dean Ambrose, with any wrestler, any small feud he's had, the Wyatt family and Wyatt himself have never won a feud.
Nope.
Ever. And then you have this thing coming up on SmackDown where, you know, he could take Ziggler's spot if he beats him for the number one contendership. And I'm like, okay, well, this makes more sense because Ziggler against Ambrose doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't seem right. Just seems off. I'm like, you put Bray in there. Now you actually give Bray something there. And what happens if Bray actually wins? Are we actually going to get a Bray push? Is he finally going to get over? Is he going to be like that cool monster heel that we've been waiting for to kind of replace The Undertaker and finally... Are they finally going to make that? Nope. No. No, he loses. And I understand that he did get injured, but I think him losing was part... him getting injured had nothing to do with the outcome. I think he was booked to lose anyway, which, again, poor booking. Now, the other thing is, and, you know, Bray needs to stay... If he wants to be, you know, the big guy, he does have to stay healthy, and he hasn't been able to do that yet.
No, he hasn't. This is the second time he rolled his ankle for a big match like this.
And I actually think the last time when he did get injured, when he was kind of teaming with Roman a little bit there, I think that was, they were going to push him there, and then he got hurt. So now I'm starting to wonder if he'll ever get that push.
I don't think so.
Because they're just not confident that he'll be able to stay healthy. And that's the thing. You got to be able to stay healthy. So I have no idea. So I'm disappointed by that. I'm iffy on the belts. And apparently some of the work coming out about the belt designs are kind of making me iffy too. Basically, both belts are going to look exactly the same, except one's going to be red and one's going to be blue. So they're kind of move the what they have is the WWE Championship, how it's kind of got the red mark on it and other stuff like that, all the red accents. They're going to move that over to the Universal Championship. So the Universal Championship is going to look like the current WWE Championship belt. And the new WWE Championship belt that will be SmackDown exclusive will be with blue accents.
Meh.
Yeah, I'm kind of met on that, too. The only thing I can hope for is that, you know, if they're going to introduce new tag titles to SmackDown, hopefully they'll also do so for Raw. Because as much as I kind of was like, man, those tag titles were interesting when they first came out, I kind of don't like the penny belts anymore. I think we need to go back to the traditional-looking champion, the tag team championship belts.
See, I like those belts still.
I don't mind them. But the bronze gets me. Like, a championship belt should be gold. So the fact that they're... And I understand why they're bronze. It's the whole Spartan thing. And, I mean, it looks... Honestly, I love the design. I really, really do. But it just... There's something about it that doesn't grab me as being, you know, tag team championship. You know, and maybe it's because I'm older, because I have a nostalgia for the older belts. I don't know, but...
I can see where you're coming from. But I'd like to see those belts duplicated for SmackDown.
No, I don't want to see. No, I don't want to see another pair of belts like that. I don't, because then it gets really confusing. Then it gets really kind of odd. Like, there has to be some kind of difference.
Well, different strap colors.
What, are people the Ultimate Warrior now? No, not everybody gets their own strap color.
Well, no, I'm saying red for Raw.
Yeah, no. That how terrible would bronze on red or bronze on blue? Come on.
Well, I'm not saying keep the bronze.
As a designer, as a graphic designer, yeah, I'm pulling that card. Don't roll your eyes at me.
No, I'm not rolling my eyes at that.
Don't you dare.
It's that I'm not saying keep them bronze.
What do you want? So you want the same belts but gold?
Gold or silver? I think gold.
But that's not part of the design. That's if they're going to change something, they're going to change the whole thing. That's Vince. Vince is, if we're going to change it, we're going to change it. I'm sorry, I'm kind of choking on myself here. But that's Vince's mindset. So if they're going to change the belts or in any way or got new designs, they're probably going to do that. They're probably going to try and make both brands look exactly the same as far as championship-wise goes. At least this is my thinking. I hope at some point they kind of borrow your idea and have one overarching main champion that is the champion of not Raw, not the champion of SmackDown, but the champion of WWE. And, you know, they kind of maybe do like a, almost like TNA, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but like what TNA does, like for Bound for Glory or something like that, where they have an actual tournament, you know, to see who would be the contenders from either brand for the main championship, and kind of have the championship almost be like it has to be defended by triple threat. Like, you have the champion, you have a contender from Raw, contender from SmackDown, it's defended at the big four pay-per-views, and it's always a triple threat match. I think that adds quite a bit of prestige to a title if that's what you're trying to do. That's just my whimsical idea here. I'd have to flesh it out a little bit more, but I like that idea.
I love that idea. Who would you want to be that champion?
Right now?
Yeah.
If we're going hot hand, it's got to be Finn.
I was thinking Rollins. Finn for Raw, Dean for SmackDown, and then Rollins overall.
But if Finn beats Rollins for the Universal Championship, that doesn't... I don't know. I don't know how that would work. Again, we'd have to find out how to make the first champion. Like I said, we have to flesh out a lot.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Coming up next, we're talking about the Olympics down in Rio. And, well, it's quite literally an S show. But we'll get into that again next, right here on SDR.
Are you a musician? Are you a singer-songwriter? Are you someone that needs help audio editing? Look no further than Brainstew Media. Based out of northern New Jersey, Brainstew Media is your one-stop shop for all of your audio needs. Whether you're looking to record your first demo, your next album, or your next concert, Brainstew Media provides the best service and prices you will find. Check out our rates, studio, and portfolio by going to brainstewmedia.com today.
These two were voted most likely to succeed in high school, which proves high school students have always been pretty f***ing stupid. Now, back to Social Downfall Radio.
Man, I already feel Olympic now.
How do you feel Olympic?
Listen to the song. Do you not feel Olympic?
No.
Man, I feel like carrying a flag and telling other countries to bite my ass and, you know, just eating a hot dog and shooting off guns and having a blonde in a bikini just kind of walk me into Rio.
That's very American.
It's the Olympics, baby. USA! 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 And now the floor exercise. Yes, the Olympics are indeed here once again. Every 4 years, your patriotism will be tested by the athletic prowess of 14-year-old girls that have been starved and tossed around and possibly abused for most of their lives. Gymnastics. Seriously, though, those girls got issues. Anorexic, bulimic, just, you know, also they can balance on a beam or, you know, float in the air. Like honestly, like, seriously, these kids ruin their lives, ruin their joints, you know, have all these other things that are wrong with them, you know, by the time they're 16. And that's it. When they're 16, you're like old. You can't be doing this stuff anymore. It's like, are you insane? That stuff is crazy to me. It's nuts.
It never made sense to me. That's why I never cared.
Like, that's the thing. Like, you look at it now. Like, Michaela Maroney, I think she was 16 at the last Olympics. She's like 20, 21 years old now or something like that. And she was the one who did the whole I'm not impressed face thing in the last Olympics. It was like, you know.
I liked her.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she was cute. For my guess, she was 16, underage, so I couldn't say it then. But now she's not. So I could say she's definitely cute. But I would never date a girl like that. Because if you're into gymnastics, you're screwed up. That's just bottom line. You're out of your head. You're nuts, and it's got to be 100%. It's literally got to be 100% of just being absolutely screwed up. Like there's no well adjusted gymnast.
No, not that I've ever met.
It's not. It can't be. Anyway, as I was saying, I'm sorry. I was thinking of Michaela Maroney and I lost my mind, just kind of went into, well, before I incarnate myself anymore, let's talk about this year's Olympics, and they are in Rio, and if you've been paying attention, which apparently if you're Gemma, you haven't been, so if you're not, well, there's been some problems. Starting with labor, venues not being done, political problems. Like the president got impeached and was suspended from office for like 160 days. There's a whole list of problems. And being the good journalists that we are here at Social Downfall Radio, we're going to go down the list and tell you everything that's wrong with Rio.
Basically, don't step out of your hotel room.
That's kind of what it is. But I feel bad because for some of the athletes, when they go into the, you know, they have the Olympic Village, and a lot of host cities will do, you know, they kind of do special Olympic Villages, and they build these whole things, and then they end up becoming like either low-income housing afterwards, or, you know, they try to do something with them. Rio's kind of went with the economical route. And, you know, they kind of made these stackable, like, prefab kind of really shantytown kind of Olympic Village that can be, like, deconstructed once the Olympics are over. Like, that's how shoddy they are. And actually, ever since, well, some of the athletes have, they get there early, obviously, because they set up. Some of the events actually happen before the opening ceremonies, like the prelims and things like that. So there are Olympic athletes already there in the Olympic Village. And several countries have already complained that the dorms there were in unsatisfactory condition. Australia, which I know has had a lot of problems, went so far as to send over 700 athletes to stay in hotels while they tried to repair the Olympic Village. Plumbing and electrical problems were the most common issues, and I did hear that there was, you know, like the sewage was coming up through the pipes. There were electrical fires, from what I understand. An Australian representative said that only 10 of the 31 buildings were quote-unquote inhabitable. That's insane. I know that there was a fire also in one of the dorms, which the Australian, some of the Australian team was staying in. And when they left, when they came back in, the laptops were stolen. All their laptops were gone.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and that's systemic right now in Rio, in all of Brazil, really, with everything that's been going on. With and not only is the crime rate high, which I think everybody understands that, but now even the police are part of the criminals. Two members, and again, Australia, two members of the Australian Paralympic team. Now, these are the these are people going to, like, you know, the Paralympics. You know, they're impaired in some way, you know, physically. They were robbed. Just straight up robbed.
I'm reading the article you posted. Human body parts washing up on shore.
Oh, yeah. Right next to where they're going to have the beach volleyball event. Volleyball. I don't know why I said volleyball.
I'm with the people who are dropping out. I would not go there.
Who would? And this, of course, we're kind of touching on all these different topics, and not even the big one, which is the Zika virus, which has kind of been the main media posting about it. But, I mean, it seriously is a huge problem, especially for the female athletes. And you know, in reading the article, obviously the first and most consistent issue that people have been said, as I just said, it's what the media has been focusing on, is the Zika virus, which is suspected of causing birth defects and has been declared a global public health emergency by the World Health Organization. So that's fantastic. That's where we're going to send our top athletes from around the world to go and get infected. Some athletes have decided the Olympics were too important to miss and took precautions which may or may not involve freezing their sperm.
The fact that you have to go and freeze your sperm just to compete in the Olympics, not worth it.
I'm really dedicated to my sport. I really want to do this. I've been training my whole life for this, but I do want to have kids someday, and if I go and compete in these Olympics, well, I'm going to, like, shoot out terrible kids, or, you know, the hydrocephalic, water on the brain kids that, you know, just like, you know, you kind of want to play head bongos on. I'm sorry. Okay. Imagine how weird that would be.
Stop it.
Anyway, just think about that you have to choose basically between going to compete in the Olympics and having a family or having a normal life.
It's unimaginable. I would have dropped out the instant I heard where it was.
You know, and that's not the only thing. And I didn't even mention the fact that there was an athlete that was robbed by the police. He was actually kidnapped and held hostage until he paid the police a ransom. I believe it was a New Zealander.
I believe it was, yes.
And then the other thing, and this is to me, this is the one thing that really, even more so than a Zika virus, is the water that they have there, and especially the water where they're going to have events where people are going to be exposed to this. Severe water pollution has been documented as far back as last year when they were looking at it. I remember reading an article about, will Rio be ready in a year's time? And they checked the water then, and it was still basically raw sewage. Like, they were talking about the particles per million or billion per cubic centimeter was, I think, close to, and I'm not exaggerating here, a million times higher than what would be considered baseline, like at the very minimum of being safe to compete in. This stuff was a million times more contaminated than that.
1.7 million times more hazardous than a beach in the U.S.
Well, there we go. See, look at that. You looking up numbers and facts. I'm so proud of you.
I like numbers and facts.
But seriously, as recently as July, so we're talking just last month, basically, raw sewage was still flowing from Rio neighborhoods directly into the water, along with a large amount of trash. And this is where they're going to have the rowing events, where they have the free swimming outdoor event. There's going to be people in this water. There's going to be legitimately people in this water. Where people have said, if you get a drop in your mouth, in your nose, in your eye, in any orifice, any body opening that you have, if you get a drop in there, you will be infected. There is a 100% chance likelihood of it. They don't know what you'll be infected with, but you will be infected. How can you have an event like this? End this.
What kills me is it's not just the water.
What kills you? It's going to kill them.
The air may also be polluted.
Well, in any major city, you're going to have that. Now, see, the funny thing is, when China had the Olympics back in 2008, they told everybody in Beijing, you're not driving your cars. And being that they're a communist country, when they tell people to not do something, well, they tend not to do it. So for the whole time the Olympics were there, like, legitimately, the air cleared up. Like, they showed a picture of before and after, and like, you couldn't see Beijing on a normal day. But during the Olympics, like, the sky was blue. It was, like, it's really amazing. And, you know, when you look at something like Brazil, they're not going to be able to tell people to stop driving. First of all, the traffic in Rio. What are you doing? What? See, somebody didn't turn their phone off.
I checked my volume, and it was...
Well, sure.
Hold on. Well, no, I looked up the air pollution.
I know. That's $5 in the... that's $5 in the jar, though.
No.
Yeah, that's your punishment for having to... If you have the cell phone on while you're on air, that's a $5 punishment, damn it.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't have a computer in front of me.
Me. As we were talking about, as if the water pollution wasn't enough, now research has shown that the pollution in the air might even be more dangerous. So not only should you stay out of the water, you also probably can't go outside, which goes back to the very beginning of the segment when Gemma told us that if you're going to the Rio Olympics, just basically don't go outside.
I did look up more into the air, though. Paulo Saldiva, a University of Sao Paulo pathologist and member of the WHO committee that set tougher global pollution standards in 2006, said that this is definitely not Olympic air. A lot of attention has been paid to Rio's water pollution, but far more people die because of air pollution than water.
Here's the thing. When Beijing has better air quality during their Olympics than you do, you got a problem. And that's it. The air pollution is a huge problem. The water pollution, the Zika virus, the Olympic Village not being done, venues not being done. Brazil was not ready to host this event. They weren't ready to host the World Cup 2 years ago, and they're still not ready. I mean, I don't know what made them think that they could pull off a World Cup and an Olympics in a 2-year span, but they can't, and they couldn't. And the IOC should have relocated the Olympics or postponed or even canceled the Olympics at this point, because this is a travesty. This is an absolute... This is a failure on every single level, from the IOC to Brazil to every country participating, in my mind. There's just, and we didn't even get to the Russians and how terrible their doping scandal was. I mean, there's so much wrong with these Olympics already. Like, there's no way these Olympics are going to turn out anyway. It's going to be sad. It's going to be sad to watch. I guess if you're into car wrecks, this is going to be the Olympics for you.
I say we just not watch.
Really? I'm into car wrecks. Screw you. Anyway, coming up next, it is the first official Social Downfall Radio movie review, and we will be reviewing
Suicide Squad.
That's next right here on SDR. Why do I drag out the R all the time?
R.
Water rolls downstairs, some odor in pairs, rolls over your neighbor's dog. What's great for a snack, it fits on your back. It's long, long, long. It's long, long. It's big, it's heavy, it's wood. It's long, long. It's better than bad, it's good. Everyone wants a long. You're gonna love it long. Come on and get your long. Everyone needs a long.
Log from Blammo.
More addictive than Game of War. And we didn't even need Kate Upton's boobs. Now, back to Social Downfall Radio.
I torture you. Take my hand through the flames. I torture you. I'm a slave to your games.
Social Downfall Radio King hanging out with you here. Gemma, right over there. And, We just got back from going to see one of the big summer movies, Suicide Squad, a DC flick. And I know a lot of people out there, especially me, have been very iffy when it comes to DC movies as of late, especially with Batman vs. Superman. Now, here's the thing with Batman vs. Superman is the critics came out before, you know, when they first saw it, and they really took a dump on it. Like, Rotten Tomatoes, I think, was 27%, and they weren't wrong, because Batman vs. Superman, pardon me, I'm full of energy drink gas. Batman vs. Superman was not good.
I slept. I really can't say.
And I know a couple people come out and say, well, it was entertaining, and oh, this was good. No, it wasn't. These are people who are trying to find anything good in something, and they're trying to say it's, Batman vs. Superman. Oh, it was an okay movie. It was entertaining. No, it wasn't. It really wasn't. It's the same kind of people who tried to say that Revenge of the Fallen from Transformers was a good movie. I saw it. I wanted to like it, but after seeing that movie, and especially what they did to Devastator, no, that movie was terrible. It sucked. Batman vs. Superman sucks. Get your grips on that. However, I've had high hopes for Suicide Squad. Ever since we started seeing the trailers last year at Comic-Con, had very high hopes for it. Then the critics came out, and I think it's got about a 37% aggregate on Rotten Tomatoes, so it's higher than Batman vs. Superman, but still not listed as good.
From what I heard with that, it's they released both versions of the movie to the critics.
I didn't hear that.
This is what me and your sister were talking about.
Yes, Sister King was with us at the movies, by the way.
Apparently, they released both versions to the critics.
Now, what do you mean both versions?
Before edits and after edits. The reshoots.
Now, there were some reshoots and some re-editing during, after most of the marketing was done and they were pushing the movie, there were a lot of edits, some reshoots, and that was where we got the PG-13. Instead, we were hoping for an R, almost like a Deadpool kind of thing, but they knocked it down to a PG-13, where I think a lot of the edits and reshoots came from, along with, that happened after Batman vs. Superman, didn't it?
Yes, and the original was dark, more brooding, like Batman versus Superman, they went into reshoots because of Batman versus Superman.
But that's weird because the trailers made it look light and kind of almost Guardians of the Galaxy-esque originally.
I guess it had more of a darker tone to it. I haven't looked into it myself. This is all what your sister said.
Okay.
They took what the critics would say was good about each movie and combined them. So the critics weren't happy because they were saying, oh, I like version.
These reviews are from seeing the movie that we just saw.
Yes. They were upset because it's not the one they wanted. So
I don't see that. No, that's not what I'm reading and that's not what's on there. So whatever Sister King is telling you is wrong, but that's not the first time she's been wrong.
Regardless, I love the movie.
We're kind of dragging our feet here a little bit with it, trying to set up for it. But we did see the movie, and I enjoyed it. I'm going to say, DC, good job. Absolutely. Now, were there points where it was kind of, for me, a little slow? Yes. But overall, I think it was a very entertaining, very good, very well put together movie. I think the first half of the movie may be one of the best pieces of film DC has done since maybe Dark Knight with Heath Ledger and that kind of Batman movie. That's the last, I think, really enjoyable DC movie I've seen.
I just want to say, I think Harley's film debut, while not the Harley I know, was perfect.
They did a fantastic job. They did a great... Here's the thing. They provided backstory without overdoing it. They didn't give a whole lot of detail, but you got enough. You understood where Harley came from, and I think they did that very well. And here's the other thing, too. And Sister King wasn't a big fan of this. I actually liked it, though, was the fact that this was not a Joker Harley movie. This was not a movie that was completely overtaken by Harley Quinn. And I'll say this, it's not so much spoilers, because we're going to try and keep this as spoiler free as possible, but there's not a lot of Joker in it. There's not a ton of Joker. So, but what the pieces they do have in there are very good. They make the right impact. They tell the story that they want to tell. Jared Leto, for the little bit that you do see him in there, fantastic job. I think he's a fantastic Joker, and I certainly hope that they bring him back. And if they do future movies, which they seem to be setting up for in the DC universe, I honestly think it was a very good movie.
And the cast was phenomenal, honestly.
They really did. They played well.
They were perfect. I have nothing bad to say about this movie.
And I'm not a huge Will Smith fan. And I was iffy with him getting Deadshot. But good job. Good job with Deadshot.
He was brilliant. Was that Scott Eastwood playing?
Scott Eastwood was Flag.
Yes, I loved him.
He did a fantastic job. Cara Delevingne, however you say her name, she played the Enchantress. She did a fantastic... And I noticed something during the movie that maybe not a lot of other people may notice or did notice or anything like that, but as the Enchantress, when she walks, watch her legs and watch her hips. Her hips were always kind of moving, almost very serpentine. Like, it was a little tiny detail, but I picked up on it, and I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was just... it was a great little add to the character. I really enjoyed it.
I love Jay Hernandez as Diablo.
Diablo, maybe the surprise of the movie. Excellent character building. Excellent character in and of itself. Enjoyed that representation of Diablo amazingly well. Killer Croc, surprisingly fantastic in the movie as well.
I loved him. My gosh, he was great.
Killer Croc was absolutely just fun to watch. I mean, here's the thing. This movie was fun to watch. And my personal favorite was Captain Boomerang. And I mean, he was the proper comic relief character that you need in these kind of movies. I mean, it was just, it really was a very well put together movie. And some people are going to say, like, oh, well, this is DC's Guardians of the Galaxy. They tried to put it together. Listen, Guardians of the Galaxy is not a bad movie to try to emulate, okay? Especially after the disasters that DC has had. You know what? If you're going to copy Marvel, instead of trying to push things through too fast like he did with Batman versus Superman, why don't you try doing things like this? Taking the secondary, third, you know, tertiary characters and trying to do something with that and make a fun movie. And they did that with this. And I said, finally, DC, good job.
DC has redeemed itself, I think.
For now. Now, here's the thing. Suicide Squad gets thumbs up from me. I give it 3.5 out of 5. I might even bump it up to four out of five stars.
I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5.
I think it's that good. Now, here's the thing. You know, now this one turned out to be good. Now, we've seen the trailers for Wonder Woman, which look incredible. But like I said, so did the trailers for Batman versus Superman. Now, the trailers for Suicide Squad looked incredible, and the movie was good. So now it's like, okay, DC, you've laid that first foundation. You've laid the first brick of, all right, you did good. Now let's see if you can continue that. If Wonder Woman turns out to be as good as the trailers, the first trailer looked, and kind of keeps this momentum going of good storytelling, good movie, DC will be on its way to building that fan trust with, you know, as I mentioned last week, with the fans, and building that up to the point where maybe Justice League won't suck.
I have a little higher expectation now for both Wonder Woman and Justice League. Now it's only a little, because they have failed us so many times, but Suicide Squad, it put in a little bit more faith.
No, this movie has redeemed my faith in the DC universe for now. It's still tentative. It's like that, you know, going back to that ex-lover there, and it's like, you know, all right, you burned me. You burned me a lot of times, and now I see you've changed. You got a job, and you got your own apartment, and everything looks nice. But I'm still gonna be cautious. I'm still kind of there. So DC, you know, we've been hurt so many times. Don't hurt us again. Don't hurt us again, DC.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
So overall, Suicide Squad, thumbs up from the cast here at Social Downfall Radio, and from Sister King as well. Thank you for joining us, Sister King, for this nice, cool special screening that we got to do. And I think that's going to do it for us. We got nice, fun Olympic talks. We had some insanity and some nice Suicide Squad. But for Gemma, this is King, and this has been Social Downfall Radio. See ya!
Social Downfall Radio is a production of Skunk Duck Studios and is distributed by Brainstew Media.